Pastor Ray Bentley says believers have been chosen by God. We're His children by choice, His choice.
How do I know that I am the chosen of God, the elect of God? Because there is a deep conviction inside of you. In other words, part of the fabric of who you are, that you are convinced that Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh, and that He is the revelation of the way, the truth, and the life.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Remember choosing teams as a kid? I'll take Mike, I'll take Tom, I'll take Mary, I'll take Susan. And you just pray you're not the last name called. All right, I guess I'm stuck with fill in the blank. Today, Pastor Ray shows us just what it means to be chosen by God Himself.
To the Church of the Thessalonians, and I write to the Church of Maranatha Chapel in San Diego. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts together these twin ideas of grace and peace. Grace was the typical greeting in the Greek world. Grace, that's how you greeted one another in the morning. And yet it was given a brand new meaning within the church by the early Christians, grace, the idea of grace. Probably the most popular song in our part of the world is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. The world responds to that concept, that idea of just unconditional love, unearned, do no wrong favor. Now, it takes, I have found, a lifetime really to get that concept of grace as a Christian. You hear it from the first time you receive the gospel, but you don't really quite trust it or believe it, and you put it to the test and only find it to be true after you have so undeserved God's favor, and yet He still loves you and favors you and likes you tremendously. And I have found that when you really begin to discover that unconditional love, that you really can do no wrong in the sense that to do anything to get Him to stop loving you so powerfully, it is very freeing and liberating, and rather than making you want to do every weird and wild thing in the world, it actually does something. It changes your heart and makes you want to be a better man, a better father, a better husband, a better son to your Father in heaven. That's the way, that kind of unconditional love cannot leave a human being the same. It changes them in the best way possible. And the exciting thing is, I've learned, not only as I begin to experience and sink in and to believe in and trust in the unconditional love of God, and that He not only loves me, that He really likes me, I then can begin to extend that same kind of love toward other human beings who bear His image. And that's very different from the world, because the world, they know nothing of grace. I fear so often for young people who are growing up and who are looking maybe for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right in a relationship, and with the world, it's all about negotiations. It's all about what are you bringing to the table. It's all about what are you going to add to make me happy. And what you end up in that kind of a relationship is it's a negotiation. As long as you provide what is either verbally or non-verbally agreed upon, fine. But the moment that for whatever reason that you're not able any longer or in the same way or to the same degree or whatever to provide something, it's cut off. Everything is lost. And there's a lot of fear then. There's a lot of artificial ways of trying to hold that kind of negotiation relationship together. And it really, sadly, it has within it the inevitability of kind of falling apart. That's what's so good about finally coming into a family where there is real love, genuine love, agape love, spirit love, unconditional love, unearned love, healing love, transforming love, And then, having been able to experience it, I can extend that not only to my brothers and sisters, to begin loving them unconditionally the way God loves me, but then it even gets more exciting when I can begin to love unconditionally those who are in the world. You know, and again, approval is not the same thing as acceptance, but where I love them because they are made in the image of God, and I sense God's love for them and can be a channel of Jesus' love in them, to them, and through me on their behalf. Grace to you and peace. And I think that's where peace comes from, by the way. There's the order, grace and peace. It's not peace and grace. You want peace? Everybody wants peace. They want more of that quietness, contentment, that loss of fear and anxiety and stress and all the rest of it. Well, where does that deep shalom in the Hebrew come from? It comes following a true acceptance of grace. Peace is the fruit of experiencing the grace of God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So here you've got faith, hope, and love. And faith means trust in a person. It's not just believing in a concept or an idea. Faith is literally trust in another person, God being that other person. And so Paul says to these Thessalonians, you guys have got a real faith. You've learned to walk with the Lord and you really do trust in him. Secondly, there's a labor of love. And it's interesting, he talks about a labor of love. He's talking about life and ministry. Our whole lives, all of you are in the ministry. You are all servants of the Lord by the way you live your life, by the gifts that you give to him. And God has taken you like salt and sprinkled you out gloriously into, this is like a salt shaker. And you're all the little grains of salt. And God, he wants to sprinkle you out into all the places that you work and live and communities and environments that you're in, there to be seasoning and to be the presence of grace. But a labor of love. Paul is saying, you guys, the way that you live your lives there in Thessaloniki, Greece, is you labor in love. You live for the Lord, you serve the Lord, you seek the Lord, and it is truly a labor of love. You're in love with him. And then he talks about patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Oh, so a faith that works, a labor of love, and then thirdly, patience of hope, or the NIV has it, endurance inspired by hope. Now, what is the hope? Paul has already said the hope is the second coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Great, we get to go to heaven. But in the meantime, it requires patience or endurance. In other words, God's given the promise, I'm coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. Therefore, we have to patiently wait. We know he'll come back. We can count upon him and trust in him that he will come back. But we have to endure in the meantime. We have to be patient as we wait for him to come back in the meantime. Now, I have to, you know, in a moment of being transparent here, I have to honestly tell you, this is something that I struggle with more than probably most. I am not a patient person. I don't like waiting for things. And so the whole idea of waiting and being patient upon the Lord, it goes against everything, it seems, the way I am wired on the inside. And so God makes these glorious promises. And he then says, now, wait for them. Now, I could do a lot better job of waiting if he would just merely just explain what he's doing in detail. And why? Why do I have to wait? If I could just get a couple of paragraphs describing, here's why you need to wait. I'm going to do it, but here's why. And then here's when it will actually come. Give me a date. And then here's the motives and how I'm working behind the scenes. I'd have no problem with it. But he doesn't do that. Now, sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll give you reasons. Sometimes he'll even tell you when. And then, of course, it's much easier. But if I have to wait without knowledge and just wait on the Lord, I like control. And so now I don't have any control. Now I have to trust in God that he is in control. And I have gotten into trouble when I have been impatient and not waited upon the Lord. And I'm sure that we've all had that experience. You know, Abraham got in trouble once. God gave him a promise. You're going to have a son. It's going to be the son that's going to bring the blessing to all the nations of the world. Great. I believe you. God reckons it to him as righteousness. Him and Sarah wait and wait and wait. Finally, Abraham is old. Sarah, she's old. And they're, how old are they? They're too old to have kids. And so while they can still breathe, Sarah says to Abraham,
honey, I don't think it's going to happen.
You better get old Hagar over there. So Abraham goes, okay. And off he goes, and they have a child. And then after the child, God goes, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, just like I promised. And Abraham goes, I know. Look what we did. And God goes, no, Abraham, I told you, you and Sarah would have a son. Whoops. What do we do with that one? And God says, you know, I love him. I'm going to bless him. But I told you and Sarah, you're going to have a son. Now, because of Abraham's impatience and taking matters into his own hands, some 4,000 years ago, you do realize the trouble the world is in today is because of that. Now, God's going to work it all out. He's got a plan because he loves both sons and he loves the world and because he is a God of love. But it does show that we do need to be patient and wait upon the Lord. There's some scriptures here. Psalm 40, verse 1. Let's read that scripture out loud. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. See, you've got to wait until you hear the Lord. Lamentations 3:26. Let's read that. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, I, you know, sometimes you wait because you have no other choice. My problem then becomes waiting quietly. I tend to wait loudly. Romans 15, verse 4, let's read that out loud. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. It's very, very important that we read the Bible because the Bible has 7,000 promises. And promises are like, you know how in the promised land, God said, I give it to you. In a practical way, he said, and here's how I'll give it to you. Every place you put the sole of your foot, I give to you. In other words, what good does it do if I give you all this land? Oh, great. And you never go live in it, visit it, walk in it, do anything with it. Well, that's yours in theory, but not in practical reality. In order to possess your actual possessions, you have to walk on the land. You have to put your foot on it, and then you own it. And then you've received it. Now, if I can take the analogy of the promised land and having to put your foot on it in order to claim it so that it means something, that it is your land and that God has given it to you, the 7,000 promises are, as it were, 7,000 places that you can stand on solid ground and put your feet and say, Lord, you made the promise. I'm standing here. I'm claiming this part of the ground that you have promised to me. And then waiting patiently for that promise to come to pass. Now, sometimes you only have to wait an hour, a week, a month, maybe a year, sometimes a decade, sometimes it may be a lifetime. And sometimes, listen to this, there are those who waited and never in this life received what they have been promised. Hebrews 11 says it wasn't until the next life that they received the promise that God had given. But you and I, through Jesus Christ, have entered in all the way into the very throne room of God in order to experience His promises. So read the Bible so that you can have the promises of God. Now, verses 4 through 9. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, and that means you've been chosen by God. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian because God chose you. You know, just like you as a human being make choices, because you're a person and you can make choices and you do make choices, guess what? Just like a real person, God makes choices. And not only just like a real person does God make choices, He really is a real person. And He makes choices. And He has chosen you. And some people get, you know, wrapped around the axle. Well, what about, you know, the ones God didn't choose? And, or what if He didn't choose me? And I always say to them, well, you know what? Here's what you can do. If you will right now choose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will discover that God already chose you before the foundations of the earth. But if you choose not to respond to Him and reject Him for the rest of your earthly life, then you will discover that God knew that and didn't choose you. Well, then the ball's in my court. Exactly. Because if you choose Him, then you discover that He has already chosen you. Now, verse 5, he says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of persecution going on of these early church believers. And yet, with joy of the Holy Spirit, they followed the Lord. Verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So they were an example to the whole nation of ancient Greece. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. Paul is just bathing them in love and affirmation. You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to everybody. Everybody in the entire country knows about the Christians in this city and that are in this church. And I want to point out just one phrase in verse 5. He says, and in much assurance, it says in the King James, and I think in the NIV it says, deep conviction. He has just said, you are the elect of God. You are the chosen of God. Question, how do I know that I am the chosen of God, the elect of God, a son of God, a daughter of God? Because there is a deep conviction inside of you. Deep means personal, emotional, intense, passionate. And conviction means convinced. In other words, you are emotionally convinced in a way that's so deep it has become literally part of the fabric of who you are, that you are convinced that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh and that He is the revelation of the way, the truth, and the life. You have proof, you have experience, you have evidence, you have demonstration, you have personal facts that nothing can persuade you otherwise. You are deeply convicted and convinced of who Jesus is. That's the way the Thessalonians were. And that deep conviction is a sign that you genuinely are a child of God. And then closing with verse 10, he says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So a striking thing about the Thessalonian letters, both first and second, is that each chapter in both letters ends with a reference to the coming again of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Goes through another chapter, and at the end of the chapter, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And that was a fire that burned and kept the early church alive and has even to this hour. I believe that we are now in a place where I believe you, as the Bereans, you check it out, you search the scriptures, you see if the Holy Spirit convinces you. But I believe that we are living in, we are in the birth pains. And I think they're gonna get more and more intense, more and more crazy and chaotic. I think there are some tremendous shakeups coming economically for the United States, as well as for the world. You know, I don't know everything. I have no inside knowledge except from what God has said, and seeing the aligning not only of the stars in heaven, but the aligning of the what's happening here upon the earth. And the Lord is then saying, how should we then live? We need to live for the Lord. We need to live passionately for the Lord. We need to embrace that the most important thing I can do is love people, love those in the body of Christ, love those who are in the world, to share with them Jesus Christ. But things are going to be wiped out. Idols are going to be brought down. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken and will not remain standing. And the only thing that will remain standing is the unshakable faith of the sons of God. In the midst of growing and ever darker hours, what little bit of light remains is, I believe, you are going to shine so clearly, so brightly, so brilliantly, as the world stumbles with lack of vision, with chaos, with war, with fear, economic chaos, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to be looking around. Has anybody got a flashlight? Has anybody got a clue? Does anybody see anything out of this very, very crazy world? Christians will be standing like angels, like stars, like lights. And we're going to need one another more, and to encourage one another, and to pray for one another, and to bear one another's burdens, and love one another, and not only love us, but reach out into the darkness and love those who are falling into the world, and snatching them up, those who will take our hand and say, come, follow me as I follow Jesus. Because good news, he's coming back. And in the end, he wins. Heaven is coming sooner than any of us know.
Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Pastor Ray Bentley with great encouragement today from our studies in 1 Thessalonians here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's How Should We Then Live? And we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is How Should We Then Live? And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Thessalonians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road,
San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Thessalonians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.